from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Former San Francisco Chief Administrator Ed Lee, now acting mayor of the city and county of San Francisco, will join us in studio for a wide-ranging discussion all about his vision of San Francisco's future and what he proposes to do as mayor about the city's budget, Governor Jerry Brown's plans to eliminate the redevelopment projects, getting Twitter and the 49ers to stay in San Francisco, and much more. All after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to the second hour of this morning's forum program. Edwin M. Lee, better known as Ed Lee, is San Francisco's 43rd mayor, appointed last month to serve the remaining part of Gavin Newsom's term. Former Mayor Newsom was elected to the office of lieutenant governor. The city's former chief administrator, Ed Lee, served before holding that position for a number of years as a civil rights lawyer. He's San Francisco's first Chinese-American mayor, and he joins us in studio for this forum hour. And glad to have you here, Your Honor.
Thank you, Michael. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you've said that it's going to be an open door. You're the mayor for everyone. Room 200 is open.
It sure is. In fact, just this past week, we've had scores of people. Some 35 came in from one community just to talk to us about the budget and how we would approach it. And that's exactly what I wanted them to do. And we've had this kind of very bad practice in the past on the budget is we do something called add-backs, where we make the cuts and then we present them to the board, and then the board doesn't like those cuts, and then they have the communities troop in, and there's a lot of crying, a lot of yelling, a lot of bleeding, and then we add it back. So at the very first meeting with this whole group, I said, give me your add-backs today. Let's try to do this differently. And that was right in front of three other supervisors. They were nodding their heads. Let's do it now.
So seemed like a good strategy.
I think so. I think we're trying to get as much unity as possible in the city as I think we deserve.
Well, it's going to be tough with a $380 million budget deficit. And recently, you have a $20 million increase, as I'm sure you're well aware, many of our listeners are, on the projected pension costs. You got to balance a budget. You said it's sort of like a cracked dam here and trying to stop the flow of water.
Yes, it is. Not only is that $380 million deficit staring us, and I think the city is still doing well. We'll have some projections that are modest improvements, but we do have that very big deficit. And a good part of it is the added expenditures that we're having, and that's right directly with the pension and the pension reform that we've got to do. And I've made that one of those top priorities, the top five that I have. Going in on the very first week, I announced it was the budget, it was finding a new police chief, it was creating long-term solutions to our pension problem, and then having a local hire, and then sending the team for the America's Cup.
Well, we'll try to touch on those as well as others in this hour, and certainly listeners will want to ask you questions about that. But I can't help thinking when I think about facing the pension complex pension challenges, to put it mildly, when Jeff Adachi put that proposition before the voters, it went down to defeat. That was pension reform, and it didn't necessarily augur that well for what one might want to want.
That's true. I have to pay attention to Jeff Adachi's purpose. His actual intent was to try to focus on something that I think all of us need to focus on, and that is reform. The method in which he did it was what I disagreed with. There wasn't that San Francisco style where you really do open the door and you get anybody in and you work with them, you tell the truth about the numbers, and you let them go at it and you let them help us do it. Well, that's what exactly I'm doing now. I've got some of the best minds working, a lot of labor leaders, Warren Hellman, Supervisor
come in with his banjo, did he?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Strum for you.
Well, he's going to do that if the negotiations break down. He'll strum that up.
These are the same minds, really, that Gavin Newsom could avail himself of, right?
Well, I don't know exactly what had happened during that time. I do know that a lot of people were reacting to Mr. Adachi's proposal, and I think there was a lot of unity in opposing it simply because it was just not researched well, and there was a lot that expert collaboration that was needed by both labor unions and management and financial people to find out whether they were sound proposals. We will have that kind of review. In fact, all of the ideas that we're putting forth now, and some of it was leaked in the local paper this morning, they're all being vetted by our budget analysts as well as our controller's office to make sure that when we say it's going to save us a certain amount of money, it will actually do that.
And you think you can wrestle this pachyderm down and bring it to the floor, so to speak?
Well, I have been telling people the truth about why I'm here. And during this year, I'm not a politician. I'm not looking for any other office.
You will not run again.
I will not run again. What I want to do this year is lay the city administrator's mind over these proposals, as I've done all my life, is look for long-term solutions and build the discipline it takes for the city to get to that goal. And with these financial leaks that we have, it's breaking a promise to our citizens that we will keep the city solvent. That's one of my goals. In the, whether it's the budget or the pension plan, I've got to keep the city safe. I want it solvent, and I also want it successful.
You also said that one of your priorities right up at the top is a new police chief, and we had Jeff Godown on the program yesterday during the opening hour of Forum, and from the listener response, quite impressed many of our listeners with him. And where do things stand now?
Well, Chief Godown's a good acting chief, and he's picked up exactly where former Chief Gascon was, and we enjoyed his term for sure. The police commission has just updated me. The application process is closed as of 5 o'clock.
It's a national search?
It was a national search, absolutely. And I did not give them any instructions about focusing on local versus non-local. We opened up the whole process. And as of today, I believe we have something close to 30 applications. And now, before those interviews start, the police commission is doing their work, holding 3 community meetings. One of them's beginning tonight at the Irish Culture Center. And they'll be receiving input from anyone who wants to give it. And I'm open to as to what are the strongest characteristics that the city wants out of a new police chief. We're open to that. I'm a little biased in that I really enjoyed working with Chief Gascon. I liked what he did. I thought he was a strong commander of the police. People on the streets, the officers on the street respected him. So he was a very present commander. At the same time, he was open and he was sensitive to the different cultures in the city. Those are the strong things that I see in the chief coming in.
You mentioned the police commission. They're going to be talking about handling the mentally ill and particularly learning things perhaps from what's being done in Memphis with the mentally ill. And they've for the time being, I guess, sidelined the whole question of tasers. Where do you stand on taser use as part of the toolkit of police enforcement?
Well, I'm open to it. I have read with the situations where there wasn't a taser. We've had at least 3 police-involved shootings. And I question whether or not there would have been a more valuable tool to use rather than just the gun to control a situation. And any civilian, anybody in this city would want our police to be armed with the best tools, the most modern tools possible. And it seems that there is a credible group of evidence that has evolved over the past few years on the use of tasers, how to use them right, what kind of training is involved in the use of that, the kind of discipline in making sure that it's used properly, used at the right time, along with training and education of our police force and the community with their expectations. I think all of that is part of the use of any new technology that is used in the police department to make them a better force. So I'm always open to technology if it can really help and if we do the right things to support it. Oftentimes, it's not just like a use of a cell phone. You've got to know how to use it effectively.
Talking to Mayor Ed Lee, who is now mayor of the city and county of San Francisco. And we have a cut from the conversation we had yesterday that I alluded to with Chief Jeff Godown. He was talking about police pensions. I'd like to get your response to this.
Several years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, when the stock market was at the 14,000 level, when people were flying around in Gulf Airstream jets, when the stock was splitting and quadrupling and people were making tons of money and the dot-com era was out of control, There was no discussion about pensions. There was no discussion about how much a police officer made or a police officer took in retirement. It seems that to a certain extent, we in law enforcement and civil service and other entities have become the scapegoat now because the economy isn't doing as well as it did maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Mayor Lee. And we should mention, by the way, that you're making less now than you did as chief administrator.
I certainly am.
Record, but haven't taken that quarter cut like Gene Kwan.
Right.
In your salary. Right. I mean, make you feel bad in any way. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is that the chief is talking directly to, in that cut we just heard, the problem of pensions and saying, in effect, well, you know, during the boom, we weren't aware of those things, and now we're suffering, and so we're aware of them. And that's certainly true.
Well, I think whenever the public and even
and also
myself,
saying that law enforcement is a scapegoat. Yeah.
Right. I certainly don't want to ever create that image that law enforcement is a scapegoat of anything. We do embrace our police department as well as our fire department and other of our public safety agencies. Having said that, though, everybody's got to recognize what has occurred in creating these very bad leaks in our pension system. We're talking about an increase of over $100 million each year, an increase of that amount. And when you think about that amount, everybody's got to contribute to resolving it. And it doesn't mean that we take a strong look at limiting the pensionable salaries. Of course we need to do that. Does it mean that employees have to contribute? Absolutely they will have to do that. Everybody's got to share. It'll be painful at the beginning. But I, as a non-politician administrator, we've got to resolve this because my goal is to make sure this 1 year I hand the city over to a new elected mayor and it's a solvent city.
Well, you also said that you have a goal where America's Cup is concerned, and I know you've already begun conversations or at least have opened yourself up to having conversations with Larry Ellison. Security was an issue we talked about with the chief with America's Cup, but there's also $1.4 billion estimated to come into San Francisco
Yes.
as a result, which certainly is cheerful news for many, but businesses are going to have to relocate.
That is true, and we're in direct discussions with them. I've tasked the Port of San Francisco to make sure that they are doing everything they can to locate businesses very close by or on other port properties as they're available. They are doing that. They are presenting their plans to me, and also they've been actively talking with many of the port tenants already because of the other project that we're doing right at the same time, and that's the introduction of the new cruise ship terminal, and that was exactly the same location that we have the center headquarters for the America's Cup.
Well, not only, of course, is that revenue important, to put it mildly, that may be coming in with America's Cup, but you've been also championing the idea of working with Twitter to keep them here and also to get them to open that other office in mid-market. That would mean more jobs.
Oh, absolutely. Supervisor Jane Kim of District 6, Supervisor David Chu of District 3, and I have been working very close together on with the CFO, the CEO, and the general counsel for Twitter, and we got to understand very quickly what they needed, and they needed some help. They've got 350 employees today at 4th and Folsom, and they're busting out at the seams. And their prediction is by the end of this year, it'll be 600 employees, and in 2.5 years, it'll be 3,000 employees. Well, when you understand that, and when you also understand that 65% of those that workforce lives in the city and county of San Francisco, 25% of them bike to work every day, you want to do something for these workers. I not only met with the management when I came out, they allowed me to have some private sessions with your engineers. And they said they love working here. They'll spend the time and money it takes to be here close to their workplace. The innovation is in the city. They're attracting other smaller companies to be with them. So they're going to bring a lot of people along. And it was well worth the effort that we made to keep these folks here. And I mentioned to you earlier, I got a couple of tweets that suggested that you got to save Twitter because they're presenting democracy in Egypt. So that was the kind of approach that we all were taking, is that this is a great company. It will be a San Francisco type of company that we want to be here, grow and expand. And then there'll be the anchor one of the biggest challenges we have in the city, and that is the mid-market area of our city.
And will they continue to be tweeting about your mustache if you're no longer mayor of the city of San Francisco?
Most likely, I think myself and maybe pitcher Tim Lincecum are going to have mustache days for this city, that's for sure.
Actually, I ask you about something that's may create some unpleasantness. There was only one dissenting vote about your being mayor, and that was Chris Daley. And he said essentially making you mayor was making Rose Pack mayor. Might as well cut out the middleman, I think was what he was quoted as saying. Can I get your comment on that?
Well, I know that was one of the votes. There were two votes at the Board of Supervisors. I recall the last one being totally unanimous, but that was one of the earlier votes. And former Supervisor Chris Daley did say that. He knows that I've been very good friends with Rose Pack.
Who's a Chinese-American activist here in town.
In town. But I'm also very, very good friends with many, many activists in town, and particularly if they devoted their whole lives, as Rose done, to the betterment of community. She has, and I love that. I love leaders in the Excelsior area, in the Bayview, in Richmond, because I've had a chance to work with them as a former civil rights activist, a lawyer. People represented low-income tenants throughout the whole city. I had clients all over this place, seniors, families, and others that really needed to help with the law. And while I was working at the Asian Law Caucus, I did my best to make sure that we could represent all of them and reach an understanding so they can live in this very great city and be of equal.
I think to quote Ed Lee, you were progressive before there was a progressive movement. Even though some like Daley tried to sort of paint you as conservative, which is pretty much a stretch. Well, actually, as long as we're on the subject of Chinese and Chinese Americans, I was just thinking, didn't you extend an invitation to the Premier of China to come to San Francisco?
Oh, I certainly did.
What happened?
I spoke to him in Mandarin, so I think he appreciated that. And I said to him on on the initial handshake that we had at the White House is love for him. I had met him before when he came through some years ago and said, please return to San Francisco. We have an exciting program that exchanging business relationships with China is called China SF. Then I said to him with a little smile, I've only got a year, so you got to make a decision fast. And I think he had a chuckle there. But I do believe, and I watched his movements while he was in the White House that evening, and I believe that our president and Mrs. Obama had a fantastic event for him, and I think he genuinely appreciated it.
And then you had Rush Limbaugh ridiculing in a Chinese accent. Has there been any blowback from your remarks about how childish and, you know, I said he was childish. You kind of called him out, as it were.
Well, I just said, without wasting a whole lot of time, you know, there'll be people that just want to get bites on the air, and they'll do everything possible, including maybe flaming and using racist and kind of insensitive remarks just to get attention. I understand people do that, particularly the Rush Limbaughs of the world. I'd rather he spend more time trying to improve his golf swing than he is trying to excite people on the radio.
You know, we're talking again with Mayor Ed Lee. The Guardian came out with an article that said that the real test for Ed Lee is the bill put forward by Supervisor Megarimi about expired pharmaceuticals. And they said if he if he's with this, then he's with he's with the lobby. He's with the people, essentially, I think, the consumers and so forth. And if he's against it, it's a big test for him because that means he's with pharma and the lobbyists and all that sort of thing. You want to talk about that?
Well, I hope that there is never any one issue that it becomes the litmus test of who I am.
It's kind of how the Guardian presented it.
Right, right. Well, I guess I have to read up on the Guardian. But
where do you stand on that?
Well, I talked to Ross Merkin, and I said I think it makes sense that everyone, including pharmaceutical companies, participate in our effort to return and make sure that these drugs don't get into our water stream and our waste stream. That's a good goal. How do we get there? I think we need education, and I think we need the pharmaceutical companies as well as the drug distributors, as well as our pharmacies, our local pharmacies, to all participate with the city to spend the next year educating us about the need to do this and what our goal is. And that everybody should. And we had an offer. We do have an existing offer from the pharmaceutical companies that they would like to contribute over $100,000 in this education effort. They see that we're genuinely trying to prevent this from going into the stream. They understand our environmental goals on this. And I want to build them on that. I don't think this is the right time to attack anybody. I think we are on the verge, as we do with many environmental goals, on the verge of announcing a very great effort on our part to do something good for ourselves. The time is to spend uniting people around this. And it's too early to be putting labels on people when we're all trying to work together to unite the pharmaceutical companies with the city of San Francisco to do the right thing. That's where I'm at, and that's the way I've always been, is if I got a challenge and we got a good goal, let's invite everybody into the tent and let's work together.
Have you had to adopt a kind of different style as well as substance for yourself? I mean, the move from chief administrator to mayor really requires a different persona, doesn't it?
Well, my methodology has never changed. I know, Gavin, when he talked to me about this interim assignment, he said, "Ed, just be Ed Lee. That's what people have enjoyed. You are who you are. Don't ever let this office change you. The demands will be greater. Your time will be shortened. There'll be a lot of speed that you're not used to." And he's absolutely right. Former Willie Brown said the same thing. Please be
former Mayor Willie Brown.
Former Mayor Willie Brown, sorry.
Yeah. I once introduced him as the late Willie Brown because he was late. But whenever we've done shows with mayors in the past, three things come up. You've stated your priorities and you've spoken about a number of issues with us here this morning, and I appreciate your forthrightness. But inevitably, what comes up, homeless, muni, and potholes. And actually, there's been considerable progress in all those areas, although from the perspective of many San Franciscans, the sit and lie legislation is going to present some new challenges, and already has. We talked about the chief with that yesterday.
Yes, yes.
You want to tell us where you are?
Well, I want to make progress in each one of these. Now, while I've said what my priorities are, obviously there are many issues like Twitter that comes up. There's an opportunity to move the agenda forward. I've done that with the supervisors. On homelessness, when I was back in Washington, D.C. on my very first week, I was able to meet with Secretary of HUD, Sean Donovan, and he was unveiling the federal program to end homelessness. And gosh, the very first look at that program, it mirrored a lot of things that we were doing. So we've got a partner now in the federal government. And when you have a partner federal government, that means you can apply for some funds to help you out. And he wanted us to focus a little bit on veterans. We will do that. And I think we've got an exciting approach to that.
Yeah, excuse me. I'm looking. Actually, our KQED reporter, Scott Schaefer, sent in a question. Because we now have half of all homeless vets living in California, Texas, New York, or Florida. And
yes.
Says, ask Mayor Lee something about the city's efforts to work with the VA to address the problem and other organizations.
Absolutely.
Like
and in fact, we have – I've already been informed that we're on our way to building our first veterans homeless housing center, and that's with a group in Chinatown that's helping to build that housing. And so we've got some good programs, and I think the sit and lie will be complementary. I've been talking with the chief about the training that's going on today, as it has been for the last month, training all the officers to make sure that they know this approach has to be sensitive to what's going on in the streets, but that now there is a law that you can't sit and lie. So there'll be warnings given. There'll be eventually we'll be up to citations, but that we're not going to clog the courts. There is a very serious conversation going on between our acting police chief and our new district attorney Gascon, as to try to make sure that we have a complementary misdemeanor system, if you will, that doesn't clog up the courts.
But it has teeth?
That has teeth, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly. And consequences.
You think it's going to be an easier working relationship with those two, who are old colleagues and friends, than it has been in the past, where there's been some real friction between Kamala Harris and the police?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I had a meeting with Chief Gascon yesterday, and I've always enjoyed working with the chief. Now he's got a new hat on for the DA's office, but I think he's got a very good, solid stance on where he's going.
If you want to talk to Mayor Lee, please feel free to join us. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. We welcome your calls. Again, toll-free, 866-733-6786, or send an email to forum@kqed.org or post a question or comment on our website, kqed.org/forum. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, our guest this hour. With us in studio is San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee, who was appointed last month to serve the remaining year of Gavin Newsom's term and who says and has said here on air that his priorities include tackling the city budget and hiring a new police chief and pushing for pension reform. We're talking to him and have been talking to him about those issues and others, and we'll take your questions and comments. What do you think the new mayor should focus on? Please feel free to join us. Our toll-free number again is 866-733-6786, or you can join us by email at forum@kqed.org or post a question or comment on our website simply by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on the segment. Let's hear from you, our listeners, and begin with Sean. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
You know, I was just calling about the arson fires that are happening in the Castro. Well, What is your take on that, and what do you think? Are there any leads?
Thank you. Yes, there is. We're working very closely with the arson investigators from our fire department as well as our police department. And as you may have heard, I was there with Supervisor Scott Wiener last Saturday and visiting the tenants there who were fire victims and making sure we helped them out as a city. And we are doing that. We made sure their vouchers were extended at the temporary location of that so they can be in the community. While we're doing that, you're absolutely correct that we are having a serious look at this. There is evidence that points to the fires being done by an arsonist, and the police are very close. We can't talk in detail about it, but they do have some suspects that they've been watching, and we hope that we will stop this very quickly. Meanwhile, we've had backroom conversations about how to support them in this, and we are doing so with all the other witnesses that might have been there and around the community.
And we thank you for the call. And move on to another call, and that's Bradley. Hi, Bradley.
Well, good morning. I wanted to know if the mayor would refrain from endorsing a candidate in the November election for the mayor. And also on the cuts, I wanted to know, aging and adult services is a department that provides for people who are unlike all the other departments and cuts coming down. They can't delay. They can't defer. These are the golden years of their lives. Can we give them a little bit of extra concern for these golden years to make sure that, you know, this is it for them, that they don't get cut out of their final experience here in San Francisco?
Okay, so two questions there. The first one is refrain from endorsing a mayor. I absolutely do that. I want the public. I want the residents of San Francisco to elect their next mayor, so I will definitely keep out of that.
Well, but besides, you want your job back as chief administrator.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll be working with whoever the next mayor is.
You need somebody to endorse you.
So, yes, that is something I will do, and certainly I will pay attention to the aging and adult service population. It's been my life's career to have served that community in San Francisco for many, many years. I know what they go through, and I know there is a lot of cuts going on that we don't control that are affecting them as well. So I'll pay attention to that. I can't promise an extra bump, you know, because we've got a $380 million budget, but I can certainly promise that we'll have a strong consideration in the services that are core to keeping people not only alive, but keeping their quality of life as best as possible.
And we thank the caller. You went up to Sacramento with the mayors of San Jose and Oakland to essentially, lobby Governor Jerry Brown about keeping redevelopment projects as opposed to eliminating him, which he has proposed in his budget. What kind
Absolutely.
Of success did you feel you had?
Well, we got the door open. And all of us there, the 10 biggest city mayors of California, met with him a couple of weeks ago. And we said that there might not have been all of the facts and figures that you needed to understand as to how valuable a redevelopment agency and the tools it has to big cities. In San
You're
Francisco.
You're telling this to the former mayor of Oakland.
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. In fact, Gene Kwan was right in, for lack of a better word, was in his face about reminding him about the valuable projects that were done with redevelopment. The tax increment financing that redevelopment has is one of the most valuable tools to get rid of blight and to attract other investments.
And create jobs.
And create jobs, absolutely. And we've done that. Look at Mission Bay. Look at the housing around AT&T Park. That would have not been done without the use of redevelopment strategies effectively. And we have the same plans for Hunters Point Shipyard. We have the same plans for Candlestick, for the Slage Lock site, for Treasure Island, and for Edmund Market.
Some emails and web comments I'm going to go to here before I go to more calls for Mayor Lee. Here's Jim who writes, the mother's milk of any mayor is a reduction of potholes. How does Mayor Lee plan to address this fundamental problem?
We've got to get a more steady stream of revenue to our Department of Public Works and other agencies that deal with our street and street conditions. And so we've been working on that. In fact, former Mayor Newsom had started this effort, and it was assigned to me, actually, as city administrator, to head up this group called the Street Working Group to find those solutions. Because in the comparison of other projects that are capital plan funds, the paving of the streets has always been on the bottom. So we have proposals out, and we are going to make at least some steady steps to increase the stream of revenue to pave our streets.
Well, speaking about streams of revenue, here's a listener named Mandy who says, seems to me one thing that would bring in some revenue for the city would be to allow more TICs, that's tenancies in common, to convert to condos. I'm part owner of a building, and we came very close to defaulting on our loan, and we are not out of the woods yet. The Ellis Act protects tenants from being evicted from condo conversion. Why does City Council keep turning down the opportunity for more TICs to convert? It seems a win-win solution to me. Decrease foreclosures and increase revenue to the city? No impact on renters.
Yes, the condo conversion legislation has been turned down several times by Board of Supervisors. I think that there's another genuine effort to raise that again, and it's coming from both department heads as well as other entities. I think there can be maybe a different conversation at this time. I would certainly want to lend an effort to that. We've obviously got to balance that with what people believe to be challenges to affordable housing in the city. But I think we would have a good dialogue around that.
A couple more questions from the web. This is actually an email. Why is Mayor Lee not running? Jason wants to know.
When I signed up for this, I signed up for 1 year. The conversations with the Board of Supervisors had been that they were looking for somebody who was not going to run for mayor. I didn't even want this job, to be quite candid with you. I wasn't interested in it, but I got recruited for it.
You didn't ask like Gavin, what does the mayor do? Or no,
but I have.
He said that about Lieutenant Governor.
I have been a great supporter of all of our mayors, and you know it's been my role in the city to be a big supporter to help carry out the agreements that the mayor would have with the Board of Supervisors, and so I never sought this office at all, and. I have accepted this challenge, but I also know my limitations. I'm not a politician. I think the public needs to elect their next mayor, and I am looking forward to be hopefully a chance of being the city administrator of this great city again.
We've got another listener who comment on the web, but it's more a question. Anna writes, what is the likelihood of reforming police and fire pensions? Will it be easier or more effective to lay off current employees? And can you make a promise to stand by your public safety officers during this grave budget crisis?
Well, of course, those are the tough decisions that are going to have to be faced. And as I said earlier, when I shared those principles of being a safe city and a solvent city and a successful city, clearly in that category of safe, it's both public safety but also social network safety. So there's going to be a lot of balancing going on here. I obviously feel that we have to have a very good, solid, efficient working force of both police and fire. I know what they do for the city, and I do cherish their work and what they do every single day. I'm not about to weaken them in any way, but can we be more efficient? Can we do things differently? Can we save the city money while we do other valuable services? Those are the kinds of questions that we bring into the dialogue.
And we'll bring more of our callers into our dialogue. Jim, join us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a question about bikers in the city and the rising tension between bikers and automobile drivers, and what the city is going to do about, one, creating more bike lanes, but also educating the drivers of automobiles that bikers are entitled to a lane of traffic and to proceed safely down a street. And it was just yesterday that I was rear-ended on my bike by an enraged driver when I was going through an intersection. She, one, was laying on her horn the entire time that she was behind me, and then she rear-ended me. And I noticed that the tensions between bikers and automobile drivers are increasing, and also the amount of bicycles that are on the road are increasing exponentially now. So what are you going to do about the traffic situation between both bikers and drivers?
I certainly want to lessen that tension, and you're absolutely right. There's a lot more education that we need to do as a city to keep our streets safe. What I've been told by many people, advocates and users, is those dedicated green bike lanes that we experimented with are working. And if we can do more of those throughout the city and challenge our San Francisco MTA, our Municipal Transportation Agency, to locate more of those dedicated lanes, that would be, I think, of immediate great benefit to both drivers and bicycle users. But I do think, and I agree with you, that, and I'll be talking to the SFMTA, how we can impose an even higher level of education among the drivers and people sharing the roads.
And I thank the caller, and we'll go to more calls in just a moment. I want to go to a couple of your emails here. This is Karen, who writes, "Hello, Mayor Lee. What is your position on the future of the Hunters Point Candlestick redevelopment project in light of the governor's proposed elimination of redevelopment agencies across the state? What should the city do to ensure that the project goes forward?" You've been talking to Mr. York, haven't you?
Well, I've been creating a relationship with Mr. Jed York, but I think that the whole project is creating a village there in Hunters Point and Candlestick. We're talking about over 10,500 homes that were planned, and so it you're right. I mean, that was why during the very first week and a half of my tenure here, our mayors came together with Mayor Villagrosa from L.A., who led the effort to really talk with the governor and explain. And that's why we got the door open. And so I think we have a very good chance that the redevelopment agency has an opportunity to survive if we present it correctly. We're getting closer to that. I think the door is still open. People are staking out positions, but this is the month we're working very hard to do so. So I'll be doing everything in my power. In fact, not just me. I got a call from Senator Feinstein. The call is coming in from Pelosi's office. The investment that we've made to clean up that shipyard, the multi-millions of dollars that our federal government had, that would be of waste if we couldn't get to the goals that we had articulated as the original goals for both.
Meaning a new stadium.
Yeah, and Treasure Island, including the stadium. Now, the stadium is there. The blueprints are there for the 49ers to consider. And my approach is, I know that the 49er business has made some decisions in Santa Clara. I respect their decision to do that. At the same time, they're faced with some challenges down there that have just come to light in the last few weeks. And you know, take a look at what we're offering here, and we're open, and we love the 49ers. And I think with kind of that viewpoint and being expressed on a personal level, and hopefully my ability to create a personal relationship with them, I think we want to invite them to keep looking at us, and maybe we go from Plan B to Plan A1 very soon.
Well, here's a listener who says, "Thanks for your work on mid-market and Twitter. I think you're making a great mayor so far. Maybe we should have more appointed mayors." And then another listener says, "Isn't it a terrible precedent to allow a company like Twitter to hold the city hostage by demanding a tax break and then getting it? Won't all sorts of other companies try to do the same?"
Well, you're right. In fact, that was the exact concern that Supervisor Kim and Supervisor Chu and I had amongst ourselves. And what we did was we wanted to make sure that the whole mid-market would benefit from this payroll tax exemption. It wasn't just for Twitter. We were lining up Twitter as being an anchor, but the payroll tax exemption extends to the whole mid-market from 5th all the way to 10th Street. Because it's been so historically difficult to locate businesses there, the buildings are run down. It's obviously kind of the closest version to Skid Row, if you will. The ideas in the past, the small businesses that were locating there making the gamble, and there have been. You've got several arts galleries that have tried to locate in there, and they have. And they're telling us they need more support. They need more companies to come in after them. So the small businesses have made the effort. We need to support them as well. So when we worked with Twitter, we didn't think of them alone. they are going to bring in others that will fill that whole corridor. That's the excitement that we're having. So it isn't any giveaway. We balanced it. Twitter wanted a lot more from us, and we couldn't give it. And you'll have to – that will come to light when we vote on this legislation at the board. They didn't get everything that they wanted. At the same time, they compromised with us as to what's good for San Francisco, what will make that corridor better, and they love the opportunity to be an anchor there. So it's not just for them, it's for us.
More of your calls. John, you're on Forum. Good morning.
Good morning. Mayor Yee, I'm wondering if you're willing to address the boondoggles of the Central Subway Project and Doyle Drive, as shown by veteran engineering, fiscal, and environmental analysts from the likes of San Francisco Tomorrow and SaveMuni.org. Since the city has so many infrastructure needs, from muni to streets and bridges, and has to save money, are you willing to look at each of these fiascos and the enormous dollar savings that can be captured from practical solutions in those two instances, even Doyle Drive at this point, and address the city's whole agenda of infrastructure needs? Thank you.
Well, thank you for that question. I was out there at both the sites for the Central Subway as well as the Doyle Drive with Deputy Secretary John Beccari just last week. And we reviewed all of those projects and had the time to go through why they had to happen. It's my opinion that these are very important projects. They've been vetted through our city family, but also through many, many federal agencies. We wouldn't have gotten the funding from our federal government had they not been not only the stimulus for the jobs, but also linking very valuable corridors of our city. The viaduct or the Doyle Drive was in imminent danger of collapsing and would go and would be a huge, huge disaster for us if we didn't rebuild that. And they chose to rebuild it in a way in which it would also have extremely other great benefits that were environmentally sensitive, that would take in consideration the whole Presidio, historic Presidio Park area, and to give people a great feeling as they're driving down there from the Golden Gate Bridge and onto the other avenues that they're part of this fantastically beautiful city. With the Central Subway, it's always been a promise that when we built 3rd Street as Phase 1, we would connect up with Chinatown. And guess what? You know, the best compliment that I've heard is that now people in North Beach want that extended to their neighborhood because they can see how this is going to be of great value. So I'm a big fan not only of the project, to be candid with you. I know it's being done right. It's being done well. John Beccari, the Deputy Secretary for Transportation, complimented us that this may have begun as an original earmark. It's no longer an earmark. You guys are doing everything straight up. This would be something that now, today, we would apply for as a project, and we would get full funding for it. And we expect that full funding, the additional $948 million to come at the end of the year when we present the federal government with our final full funding grant agreement that they intend to sign. I think these are great transportation projects, and they have not only put a lot of people to work, but they have every opportunity to build these communities and make sure that we can get around the whole city well and efficiently.
Well, the federal government's just signed on to money, presumably, that will be forthcoming where high-speed rail is concerned. This will affect San Francisco.
Yes, it will. And you know, the Transbay Terminal, I think, is yet another good and great project that we have. In fact, it's one of those projects that you'll see once in maybe two lifetimes. And to have high-speed rail considered as part of that aspect, along with all of the other modes of transportation that go in, and also to have that building being designed by great architects there that are going to make it probably gold, if not better, lead in terms of its environmental soundness. I think I'm just seeing so many great projects, and I hope, for example, in my brief tenure here, I'll be able to ride across the Bay Bridge with maybe Mayor Gene Kwan, and maybe on a bike, because I think the bike path is actually open, not for bikers, but it's actually completed while the rest of the bridge is.
Do you ride bikes to city? Do you ride a bike to City Hall?
I haven't yet, but I do have a bike, and I've been wondering when the weather will cooperate with me and my schedule will do so. But I do support bikers. I want them to flourish in the city. And when we talked to Twitter, 25% of their workforce bikes to work, and I saw all the racks up there and all the bikes in those racks. So I would encourage that, and I want to make sure our streets are safe and that they're smooth, because one of our biggest advocates for eliminating potholes has been the Bicycle Coalition, and they're good friends now.
Let me bring more of your calls on. We go to Oakland. Joan joining us from Oakland. Good morning.
Yes. I'm interested in the civil service process. Currently, there's a list that gets created for most positions, but the reality is that if your name gets on the list and there's somebody known in the department, then essentially cronyism takes over. So how do you ensure that the best person gets the job and not somebody whose name got on the list and had a buddy in the department or had a friend with a buddy?
Thank you. Our Civil Service Commission has worked very hard over many, many years, and the head of that agency, Mickey Callahan, has worked very closely with me as the Director of Human Resources for the city, and Anita Sanchez at the Civil Service Commission as well. We have very strict rules, and we do have some rules that maybe the public doesn't know about. It's called bumping rights and seniority. Those are clearly rules that we abide by where if someone is already in that same classification and been there for years and doing a good job, that they have a right to fulfill a vacancy in within the city. We've endorsed that as part of our city policy. So it may appear that it's by friends, but that is against the rules. If someone gets into those positions because of a friendship and not because of qualifications, then that clearly is against the rules. And we have whistleblower programs to take care of that. We have complaints. There's a lot of competition for city jobs, as you know, and we're reducing them. So the competition is even more fierce. But I will say that we have a very strong civil service process. We have an open complaint process that you can have investigated as to whether or not there's any kind of collusion or any kind of malfeasance that is had with these jobs. I know that we're doing a better job because my very first job in the city back in 1989 was the first city's whistleblower investigator for the city of San Francisco. And I investigated those jobs and I found out that we had to make those corrections, and those corrections are there today.
Let me thank the caller and go to another caller. Philip, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, Mayor Lee. I would like to ask if you could get the police to enforce the speed limits in the city. On 19th Avenue, when I drive the speed limit of 30 miles an hour, I find cars zooming past me at 40, 50 miles an hour, almost double the speed limit, and also the muni vehicles on 19th Avenue and in the end Judah. Goes through the neighborhood at 35, 40 miles an hour, causing increased noise and vibration. I would like you to insist. I called Chief Gascon last year when he became the chief and asked him to do it, but nothing's been done. So I wish you would push to get more safety and trying to get the citizens to obey the speed limits. Thank you, sir.
Consider that done. I'll take that up with our acting police chief and make sure that 19th Avenue is safer. I will do that.
Let me thank the caller. Speaking about acting police chiefs, Steve writes, I listened to the chief yesterday. He was here with us on forum and wondered what your issue is that you need to hire a new police chief.
Well, because he's in acting status, we need to confirm with officially through the police commission a permanent chief. And so it is a process that we need to go through.
Standard operating procedure. Really,
it is a standard operation procedure. And I don't have favorites right now. I have to keep my mind open about all of the qualifications. And I don't know who the applicants are. So I've entrusted the police commission to vet out all the applications they have.
And you're down to 35, you said.
Yeah, 30 to 35. Yeah. And they're going to vet them all after they've met with community groups, who will be done this next week. And then they'll provide with me their top three recommendations. But it is because Chief Gascon left. There was a vacancy, and the procedure for our city is to confirm it by a very open process that is verified by our Civil Service Commission as well as our Police Commission.
Here's Martha, who writes, Mayor Lee is a breath of fresh air. I like Gavin, but man, he did go on. I think Mayor Lee should try to wrestle some of the pension issues to the ground. It will be contentious and thankless. It is such a hot potato for politicians seeking office that he may, in fact, be the only person who can try. Another listener, Muriel, writes, Hi, Mr. Mayor. I'm very concerned about the closing of the New Leaf and the very possible closing of Lion Martin. What is the city going to do about the medical safety net in San Francisco if these low and no-cost mental health and primary care service providers keep closing or scaling down their services?
Let me take up that last question first. I am very concerned as well that very valuable services not be curtailed. And so When we heard about the Lion Martin problems, I immediately met with Barbara Garcia, our new director of public health, and we talked through what had occurred. And unfortunately, there have been errors made in the nonprofit that was running that program. And so what we want to do as a city is make sure that the clients were saved, that the people that were getting treatments and were getting health services through the Lion Martin Center would be our focus, just like they would anywhere. And then we would deal with whatever the financial situation was of the entities that were running these programs. There has to be more discipline these days in all of the nonprofits. I've been saying that even as we hold these budget meetings with many, many community-based nonprofits, we want to make sure that there is sustainability and viability of these organizations when we ask them to do valuable services for our communities. And I'm looking at not just year to year. I'm looking at 3 to 5 years of planning. And that's what I get to add to the value of this office being a non-politician, is that I'm looking at things 3 to 5 years and seeing whether they're sustainable or not. That's the new look that I get to have as a non-politician.
Let's give one final call in. John, that's you. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. I was wondering about the status of the EV project in San Francisco through the Bay Area Air Quality Management District and availability of public charging stations.
Oh, a very project close to my heart. As you know, I've been a big, big champion when Gavin and I unveiled the whole green vehicle showcase right in front of City Hall.
You could be meeting with Nancy Sutley today.
Absolutely. Nancy Sutley is literally in about a couple of hours, and I'll be taking her to the green vehicle showcase.
She chairs the environmental quality for the White House.
For the White House. She's the advisor to our president. And so we are already installing those chargers in our garages, and we will have 50 by the end of this year, and we expect 100 in the next few months thereafter. And it's all part of a whole Bay Area corridor that we're creating with all the 9 counties, not just in San Francisco, but we began, as every of the others would, is putting these chargers in our garages so that we could deal with the range anxiety and have some comfortable places. And now we're on to looking at our own public fleet, particularly focused on taxis. We have an exciting opportunity to get EVs into our taxi fleet. So we're going to be doing that as well.
Well, good luck on that and all the other priorities. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Mayor Ed Lee, pleasure to have had you with us. Forum is produced by Kevin Guillory, Amy Machado, and Christina Russo. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our interns are Adam Hill, Douglas Ray, Julia James, Suki Lewis, Katrina Schwartz, and Vinny Tong. And for all of us at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.